I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We'll begin reading in just a moment in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 with verse 1. I love taking the very words of Scripture for a subject in the messages that I preach. Don't always do it, but nearly always. And as you travel through this book of Ecclesiastes, remember that it is a sermon. The preacher is a king. The subject is about God and vanity under the sun without God. More than 30 times in the sermon we hear that there's really no real life under the sun apart from God. It's an amazing book of the Bible. One sadly neglected. I've written two volumes on it, and I hope someday you'll get them and read them. It'll help you study these 12 chapters. But may God guide us and guide our thinking here as I bring this message. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." This is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. It covers all of life. Think of it. Notice here, we begin with, "Remember now thy Creator." I want you to take the time to mark that expression. That's where we're going to deal with the subject. Remember now. Now. That's a word we don't want to miss. Now thy Creator. This is one paragraph that I've read. Notice in our Bibles, there's seven verses, but one paragraph. And as God gave this paragraph, He started with the subject of life and concludes with the subject of death. He takes us all the way through. All the way through. And notice, He talks about the keepers. That's arms and hands. The strong men, that's legs. The grinders, that's teeth. The eyes that look out of the windows. The ears, the doors shall be shut in the streets. And then He talks about the physical makeup, biological makeup of the body. And finally, to the brain, as it ceases, the heart stops, the brain ceases, physical death comes. Now, death doesn't end all. Physical death is separation from the body. We keep our identity. Think of that. In death, we keep our identity. We go to a real place with real people. We understand from physical death, as people linger in illness, they begin to withdraw from this world. You ever wonder why? They know they're leaving this world. You see appetite diminishing. They don't need food for this life anymore. They're looking for nourishment and strength from somewhere else. Spiritual strength. There may be a strong burst of energy near the end. But they're getting ready to go be with God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I want to give you a very simple message. I want you to write it down, and I want you to repeat it. I want you to repeat it to as many people as you possibly can, and I appoint you a preacher, just like the preacher here in Ecclesiastes. I want you to be a preacher. And I want you to take this simple thought and deliver it to as many people as possible. Here it is. Number one. Begin your life with God. Begin your life with God. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, but the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That means as early as possible. It's wonderful when people come to know the Lord, as early as possible. We guide people to God. Salvation is the work of the Lord. We should never forget that. Salvation is of the Lord. We guide people to God. God does the saving. Well, to give a clear presentation of the gospel, the Holy Spirit will do His work, drawing people to the Savior. I can remember as a boy, perhaps you remember as a child, I wanted to know more about the Lord. And my mother tells me there were periods of time when it seemed I was more curious about faith in God than at other times. With things happening in our home, we were always around older people. We lived with relatives quite a bit in and out of their homes. I had two aunts that lived to be in their 90s. I never remember listening to a radio with them. I never remember watching a television with them. There was no such thing as the television. And I can remember one of them, an Aunt Frances, we called Aunt Fanny. An Aunt Fanny who had long hair that never been cut. She'd sit in a chair at night. We'd all gather around, sit on the floor. She had a certain comb. And the teeth in that comb just seemed to fit her hair, texture. And she'd lay that long hair, long, flowing, beautiful hair on her arm, and she'd comb it. And while she was doing it, combing it and cleaning it that way, she'd talk about the Lord. That was God, you see. I remember that so well. I grew to love her and Aunt Maddie. I loved them. With all my heart, I loved them. And I loved God in them. When things were happening in our home, trouble in our home, as a boy, I thought about the Lord. No doubt about it. Thought about the Lord. I told you recently, I got a letter from a lady, Ms. Lawhorn, over in Maryville. God bless her. And she and Dr. Howard, my childhood pediatrician in Maryville, still alive. Ms. Lawhorn is 90 plus. She was picking me up and taking me to Sunday school, and my brother and my two sisters, to the First Christian Church in Maryville. We thought about God. But then someone talked to me. The day came when someone took the Bible and explained to me how to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now think about that. In other words, it seemed as God was all around us, hearing about Him, people talking about Him. Someone took the Bible, explained to me from the Word of God how I could repent of my sin, ask God to forgive my sin, and by faith, I could receive the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And I did that, and everything changed. I say, commence your life with God. Will you write it down just that way? Commence your life with God. And if you're a father or a mother, have the idea that as God blesses you with children, that early on you're going to do everything you can to get the Word of God in the hearts and minds of your children. You're going to get them around God's people. You're going to talk about the Lord as freely as you talk about anything else. Talk about the Lord. Commence your life with God. Remember now thy Creator. When a child is brought up the right way. We find the Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Did you ever notice, if you'd like to hold your place here and turn to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy, did you ever notice in that same passage in 2 Timothy? Remember, we didn't have the chapter verse divisions. And so, near the end of chapter 3 in 2 Timothy, when the Bible says in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which they will make thee wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus," just a few sentences later, the apostle says, "For I am now ready to be offered," verse 6 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy, "and the time of my departure is at hand." Notice that. If you had received this epistle, 2 Timothy, the letter to 2 Timothy to Timothy, and you were reading it that way, in just a matter of a few lines, you'd have covered the whole life here. Let me read it that way. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 15, he's speaking with Timothy. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And just moments later, in chapter 4 and verse 6, speaking of himself, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." I'm causing you to remember the beginning of your life, the commencement of your life, and now I'm talking about my journey coming to an end. I encourage families not to hide death and sorrow from their children. Deal with it the right way. Everything in the Christian life should be dealt with hopefully. Everything. Everything in the Christian life should be dealt with in prayer. Everything. Everything in the Christian life should be dealt with the Word of God. I'm just about to change my life verse. This will be my third change. I'm coming to my third verse, I'll call my life verse. For many, many years, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And then I came to this verse in struggle, Acts 5:42, "They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now, I'm right on the threshold of taking this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them." And I see my life that way. I see my life that way. I remember, maybe 20 years ago. I was a pastor of this church, of course. Maybe 20 years ago, a group of well-known pastors invited me to a meeting. They had their plan. These are men I respected. They had their plan. I never told you about it. No reason you'd know about it. They invited me to speak in a meeting, and lots of people were there. Then they asked me to go for a meal. And this group had made a plan. They got me out to the place. My wife happened to be with me to eat the meal. And they said, "We want to talk to you about something. We want you to know that you're a dinosaur." I said, "What do you mean by that?" They said, "The type of ministry you're trying to have and the things you're emphasizing are way out of date. If you're ever going to have a strong church, you're going to have to change all of that." And they said, "We've traveled all around the country." They began to name churches where they'd been. And the speech went on. They said, "We found what's working. We're very pragmatic about the thing. We've seen what's working, and we believe that you ought to change and do what everybody else is doing, and you'll see the kind of growth that we believe we're going to see." It was hard for me. It was hard for me not to say some very unkind things to those men. I did say to them, "You ought to have the kind of church where people are traveling to see what you're doing instead of what you're doing, traveling to see what everybody else is doing." But I came out of there with my wife more determined than ever. But that was just a temptation to do the wrong thing, to take the wrong turn. And I felt very strongly about it. Very strongly about it. I'm saying to you, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. commence your life with God. You can only know Him by faith. Have your own personal experience with God. Is He real to you? I didn't grow into this. I was born into God's family by the new birth. I was a sinner, lost and hell deserving, hell bound. The devil had me running off to hell with me. And somebody told me that Jesus came to ransom my soul and paid my price, my sin debt, in His own precious blood. And I, by faith, that night asked God to forgive my sin. And I trusted Him as my Savior. I say, commence your life with God. Then a second thing, continue your life with God. Continue it with God. Somebody will try to get you off track. They'll tell you there's a better way. Listen to the Scriptures. If you'll turn back, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's stay there. I think it's helpful to us. You come to verse 8. Vanity of vanities, chapter 12, verse 8, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now listen, please. Verse 10 and following. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. I say, continue your life with God. And I love this expression. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. You know who that shepherd is? And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now, students like to take that last part of verse 12 out of context and say, I found an answer in the Bible for all this nonsense these teachers put me through. But I'm afraid you've taken it out of context. Notice he says, your life needs to be fastened together with words of truth. Be strong in the Lord. The Word of God here. We're talking about the Word of God. We're born into God's family. We commenced our Christian life from believing the Word of God. We continue our Christian life by the Word of God. These are powerful words. The preacher sought to find, verse 10, out acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. We're talking about God's Word now. The words of the wise are as goads. Goads, pricking, stabbing, jabbing, waking us up, stirring us. And especially, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. He said, God's Word fastens your life together. God's Word holds your life together. God's Word keeps you where you ought to be. That's the Word of God. And on this journey, there are all kinds of twists and turns. There are temptations, alluring things, paths to follow. I say, one of the most disturbing things that comes to our attention in this generation is that more than 70% across the board have no way of knowing in a church like this, and they include every kind of church imaginable in these surveys, but more than 70% of children who grow up in church after they're 18 years old, more than 70% of them, 7 out of 10 of them, leave the church to never go back after their 18th birthday, after they get out of high school. Someone says they commenced their life with God, but they didn't continue their life with God. Beloved, it's vital that we continue our life with God. I read the other day a survey that the Lifeway people put together. That's the Southern Baptist group. put together, and they did the survey work. They paid for it. They said that 150,000 people stopped going to church every week. 150,000 a week. They commenced, but they didn't continue, see? I want to continue. Do you? Then listen. Then your life has got to be fastened together with the Word of God. I commend our people who are promoting Scripture memory. I commend our families who are teaching their children the Word of God. But it should never be just for memory. I say this word to the wise. It should never be just for memory. Oh, that's a great thing. But it should be for obedience to the Scripture. We have to keep that in mind. You see? Obedience to the Scripture. Those nails of the Word of God fastening your life together. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. I talked to a Christian family a little while ago, standing in a room, where 10 minutes before I spoke to them on the phone, their loved one, dearest loved one, had died. They'd been in the room singing, praising God, talking about the Lord. Listen, that's coming to everyone if the Lord doesn't come soon. What's going to happen to this generation? Oh, sad, sad. What's going to happen to this generation? 70% of them, 7 out of 10 of them who forsook their moorings, who commenced and didn't continue when they get to that point. What's going to happen? You make it your business by the grace of God to continue your life with the Lord. The first time the devil throws something at you and you think, well, this is terrible. It should not be happening. This is awful. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. You just say, by God's grace, I'm going to sail through this. I'm going to continue my life with God. That's just the way it ought to be lived. Then the third thing, conclude your life with God. Commence it, continue it, conclude it. Notice as we come to verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. But this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Conclude your life with God. Now, I don't know the details of my finish, and neither do you. Now, listen, please. But I am determined by God's grace how I'm going to finish. You say, how can you be so sure of that? I don't want to presume on the Lord. And I know saying what I'm about to say will bring some resistance from the spirit world. But I've made up my mind. I'm determined. I've set in my heart. I've struck the course. I've marked it. I've fixed my heart on the Lord in this matter. That I commenced with Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to conclude with Jesus Christ. God won't fail me in this. Just like the Lord didn't fail me when I called on Him for salvation, He saved me. My confidence is not in me. I didn't save myself. Just like I said, there have been trials and difficult things. Look, you don't try to do what we're trying to do. And we haven't had the worst of it. None of us have had the worst of it. There are people being put to death while I'm preaching. There are people being put to death around this world for naming the name of Jesus. We haven't had the worst of it. There are preachers in Africa where the Islamic invasion is going from the north to the south. There are preachers who are having their eyes burned out and cut out and their feet chopped off for giving the gospel to people. While I'm preaching here, we haven't had the worst of it. Let's don't lick our wounds. We don't have wounds to lick. God help us. But we can say by God's grace, when things come, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to be defeated by this. I'm going to sail through. And there are things that will bother you, especially things that get close to you. There's no hurt like family hurt. The devil knows how to get after us. But Jesus is greater. So how are you going to finish? We want to conclude with the Lord. I've said in this church, I didn't come here to quit, resign, throw in the towel. Didn't come here, first time some little fuss about something, say, oh, poor me. And neither did you. God gave me this to do. My dear precious friend, Dr. Hudson, who's kicking up gold dust right now in heaven, used to tell the story about a little boy who was given a pair of skates by his dad. And he put the skates on, was skating around, falling down, skating around, falling down, knees and legs all bloodied up from the fall. And somebody said, son, why don't you give it up? Get those skates off and you're tearing yourself up. He said, my daddy didn't give them to me to take them off. He gave them to me to put them on and to skate. And I want to tell you, God Himself, you called me, but God Himself put me here. And God Himself gave me this to do. And God Himself put a fire in my heart. And what He's done for me, He's done for you. You're one of His children if you've been born again. And so I commenced with the Lord. I'm going to continue with the Lord. And praise be to God, I'm going to conclude with the Lord.